Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studio. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. According to Forbes.com, many people will spend over $1,000 this holiday season. This spending includes attending holiday-themed events and shows. Therefore, the importance of nonprofit organizations capitalizing on events around the holiday season is paramount. These events can bring in a large amount of first-time attendees and can help to raise awareness around end-of-year giving and donations. Today's episode is an interview with the executive director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, Daniel Hart. I usually try to keep these interviews evergreen, but I think it's important to note that I spoke to Daniel on November 17th, 2022, the day before the record snowstorms in Buffalo. A few major events that would anchor the BPO's holiday offerings suddenly had to shift because of weather. This proved to be a fantastic entry point to discuss the planning and importance of the holiday programming at an organization like the BPO. All right. Today, I'm here with Daniel Hart, the executive director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. It is great to be with you today. Daniel, how are you?
Thank you. Well, it's an interesting day here at the BPO. Never a dull moment.
This interview hopefully will be evergreen, but we're recording this kind of on the state of emergency date of everything closing down because of the huge pre-Thanksgiving November snowfall. I'm sure that's affected your organization.
We canceled a concert tonight at Klein Hands, and we canceled one of our biggest concerts of the decade tomorrow night, which was Yo-Yo Ma was going to be here. And we have a standing room only sold out crowd, and just very unfortunate that the timing of the storm is going to take that away from us for the moment. But luckily, you know, the good news is that we got it rescheduled already. So we were able to say to people, listen, the concert's off, but come back May 7th and Yo-Yo will be here, and your tickets are still good. So that's the silver lining on it.
That's incredible. Yeah, I'd had hoped that it would have been rescheduled because something like that sort of right around this time must be so important to your programming.
It is. It's, you know, one of the great moments of the season. It was one of the things you want to talk about was how we plan a season. But sometimes we take things as they come, and we had basically 99% of the season done 6 months ago, and we got an opportunity to work with Yo-Yo again. And so we just, you know, it just happened to be on the one date in our calendar that we had free for the orchestra. So it just, you know, it was great that it worked out. And now it's another kind of kismet, I guess. We'll be. And plus, we have pretty much a sold out show on Saturday night, the music of ABBA, the Swedish rock group. And we haven't moved that yet, but we're fingers are crossed. We'll see what happens.
Gotcha. Well, we are a little bit ahead of ourselves here. So for which I think is great. And thank you for being so open and honest and really kind of showing people the sort of sense of humor that's needed to kind of run an organization that's producing live events.
You can't. Yeah, you got to roll with it. That's the key thing in the business. You just got to roll with it and not take it too seriously. And, things happen. And I think that's one thing that I love about Buffalo and the BPO and all my colleagues. We're you need to be highly flexible and ready to pivot on a moment's notice. And everybody here in Buffalo does that quite well. So it's good.
Well, for those listeners in Buffalo who aren't familiar with the BPO, could you give us just a sketch of the organization?
Sure. Well, the BPO has been around since 1935. So it's, you know, it's not quite a century old, but coming up on a century old. It's a organization that operates on a budget of $13 million. And our mission is to provide music throughout the community and beyond the community even. I like to say that we're an organization that supports artists because 80% of our budget is paid to the musicians who make the music that you hear each and every week. So we cannot forget that this is an institution that actually brings artists to Buffalo to work and improve the quality of life for others, for all of us here. So, and during a season, what the musicians give us is 40 weeks of work and over 120 concerts a year of all different kinds. So it's a very highly diverse schedule. Sometimes there's four concerts a week, sometimes there's two, sometimes there's five, but the season keeps rolling and we put out a lot of product for Buffalo.
Fantastic. Now, I understand too that you are based at Klein Hands Music Hall, but you also will do other performances in other places occasionally?
Oh, sure. I mean, we do touring. We do what we call our runouts, which are kind of within the metro area, but we're out of client hands. So, you know, the basic part of our regular season, the winter season, classics and pops are all at client hands. But during the summer, we go all over the community from, Niagara Falls to the South Towns to even out to Letchworth State Park. So we are mobile mostly during the summer. And during the regular season, we have a few runouts that take us outside of client hands. So, yeah, we're on the roll.
Fantastic. Now, at the start of this interview, you mentioned the unfortunate kind of sort of rescheduling of Yo-Yo Ma and the ABBA concert. Now, normally people wouldn't think about the Swedish pop group ABBA and Yo-Yo Ma kind of being sort of anywhere in the same space in the same weekend. So can you please tell us how events are programmed at your institution? And that's an incredible diversity of offerings.
Yeah, like I said, some weeks there'll be maybe three or four different programs. And actually this week, yesterday morning, we had 1,600 what K through first through fourth graders at Client Hands for an educational concert. Then the orchestra went into rehearsals for Yo-Yo Ma, and then we would have gone to ABBA. So our orchestra is highly flexible. We we have a format of concerts that we want to get into the 40-week season each year. 35 of those weeks take place during the, I guess what you call the winter season. And so we have 18 weeks of pops and 12 of class of 18 of classics and 12 of pops, and then lots of other different things. But frequently, you don't need that many rehearsals for ABBA. I mean, the orchestra does the ABBA show on one rehearsal. ABBA flies in Saturday morning. We do a dress rehearsal and we do the concert that night. For something like Yo-Yo Ma, you'd probably use three rehearsals, so it takes a couple more days. So that's how you can fit it into any given week. And we feel like the audiences are different enough that it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes scheduling back-to-back concerts of different genres. It's just, it doesn't bother. It's in one sense, it's all just work to us. But we are trying to meet the needs of different niche audiences and different musical tastes around the community.
Fantastic. What were some of the highlights of at the institution this fall?
The orchestra did go to Carnegie Hall. So that was getting the Carnegie Hall is a pretty big deal. And we had lots of Buffalonians that came down to see us. We got lots of great press in New York. And so that's, you know, you can imagine that that's always a highlight for the musicians and the people that work in the orchestra to be able to accomplish a feat like that. So that was a pretty big thing. But also we had just a stellar night in the Pops, but we had Gladys Knight here and Queen of Diva of Soul, you know, Queen of Soul. And we saw so many new people in the house, a very diverse audience, record ticket sales. And so events like that are just as important as Carnegie Hall. And that was probably one of the key highlights of the fall. Tomorrow night would have been a highlight with Yo-Yo, but we'll just postpone that to a spring highlight.
You know, I don't know if you've heard this, but the way to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice. I just wanted to see if you'd laugh. I hope that everyone who's listening successfully rolled their eyes with that one. Thank you for humoring me.
Well, you delivered it quite well.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think it's amazing to say that, you know, there really are so many world-class musicians here in Buffalo, and that, you know, the caliber of work that's being done here is being sort of celebrated in other regions, including Carnegie Hall. I've lived in many other sort of mid-level cities throughout the United States, and not many of them have a Philharmonic Orchestra. That is so special to sort of have that in our own backyard right here in Buffalo.
First of all, I think it goes back to just about 20 years ago, and I just felt like it was one of the most supportive communities in the cultural landscape that I could imagine. And when I came, there was a big funding crisis through the county, and the public sector, our private donors stepped up, not only to the BPO, but to many organizations. And I think that there was a feeling like this is important to the history of our city. We want our city to be known for culture, and therefore we're going to put our money where our mouth are and try to support these organizations to the fullest we can, because we don't want to see a slip in quality. We've got them to a certain point and they can't go backwards. They need to keep excelling and progressing. And I think that's what's happened. So the community support is just key. It really is key to our success.
So we're headed into the holiday season, and the theme of this episode is sort of the business of the holiday season, the business of Christmas. How important is holiday programming at the BPO?
I would say it's very important. I was trying to think of the percentage of our single ticket sales or our ticket sales overall that come from just basically 4 weeks of concerts. And it's a fair amount. It's not quite 20% of our overall ticket budget, but it's probably close to 20%. You know, I think it's here, it's just, it seems again, like the culture has wrapped its head around traditions and people love their traditions. And especially around the holidays, it's family time. It's time to for feel good music, feel good events. And the BPO, I think, has done a pretty good job of putting together a series of holiday events that delight and entertain at every turn. And it really starts with, you know, some of it's not even ours. We have a partnership with Shays and Neglia for the Nutcracker Ballet, which this year will be in a couple weeks. We are hired by the Buffalo Philharmonic Chorus to do the Messiah. And this, it's expanded to two different nights. We have the Celtic Woman, which is, we call it a special. It's not on any series, but it's just one of the traveling holiday shows. And then we have our standard classical Christmas for our classics fans and holiday pops for our pops fans. And so it's huge business. I mean, you'll see, like I said, 20% of our overall ticket sales in the span of 4 weeks. We see maybe 10,000 people, maybe more, and during those 3 weeks. And it's all people, they come out with smiles on their face. So it's a great way to end the year for people and to carry on really nice family traditions.
My first experience at the BPO was last year in seeing Vanessa Williams. And I was just blown away by the entire evening, from sort of walking into Kleinhans to seeing the concert, to seeing the sort of support from the orchestra. It was such an amazing experience, which then resulted in a friend and I kind of coming back for more concerts throughout the season. And just, but I think that it was just such a great way to kind of go in and hear the orchestra for the first time and be inside of Kleinhans and kind of just experience everything that your organization has to offer.
Well, thank you. I think you can't underestimate, I guess, the specialness of Kleinhans. And, you know, I also operate that as, I serve as director of Kleinhans Music Hall because the Buffalo Philharmonic runs it. But over the years, I've just grown so attached to it. And I think that as compared to other venues where I've been in and out of over my entire career and life, it just, there's something about Kleinhans that is just very special. It's warm, it's comfortable. You have places, you know, have plenty of space to move about. You're not crowded in. And it's truly kind of a gathering place for people, for community to come together and enjoy things and make friendships and enjoy company of others. And just very special. And the holidays, it just, you know, it's super amped up with the decorations and everything.
Yeah, my experience of the sort of building and the space and even just seeing the BPO too is that it feels so welcoming. It feels grand and beautiful, but it also feels really comfortable. There's nothing about it that is kind of distancing or feels like, oh, you know, this is too fancy or anything like that. It's just such an incredibly unique space.
Yeah, I think the wood finishes certainly, you know, the kind of the muted tones, it's not fancy or ornate or something that would make you feel like you're in the Gilded Age. You know, it's just, it's very austere and it's Finnish, modern mid-century design. And it was built intentionally for two ways, but one, above all, a temple of music. Is that what Saarinen said? This is a temple of music. So it has a pretty singular purpose to be the home of an orchestra or musical event. And I think he accomplished that by kind of stripping out all the ornamentation and kind of making you focus on what's there. And he also focused on the great things about acoustics and sight lines and all that kind of stuff that go into a great experience as well.
So I imagine after this weekend, you're gearing up for a huge swell in attendance for the holiday season.
We certainly hope so. You know, it's, I think the trends are pretty good. It's been difficult coming back from COVID. You know, our partners are in cultural organizations are all struggling with the recapturing of members and subscribers and ticket buyers. 2021, you know, when we came back after COVID was still very weird. And I don't think anybody in the arts can say it was otherwise because you're still having to wear masks and you're checking vaccination cards. And we had probably a third of the attendance of what we were. And we do think that it's going to be a rebuilding process. We think it's going to take 3 to 5 years to kind of get back to where we were in 1920 before COVID hit. But we're making market progress. And one of the key, I guess, you know, metrics that we would look at is certainly holiday attendance. You know, how many people are willing to come out at the holidays and, you know, try to get back to their old life. So the trends are good right now. We're thankful for that.
Well, this also brings to sort of the importance of kind of year-end giving or donations. They must be incredibly important for an organization like the BPO.
Yep. Thanks for that question, because it is important for orchestras. Can't speak to the other performing arts organizations like theater or ballet or something, but I imagine it's pretty similar that the ticket sales only cover 33% of the cost of the orchestra. So you like to tell people that your ticket basically is 33% of what it costs to put on that show. And so therefore 67% has to come from someplace else. And we have a few different sources of income. First of all, in Western New York, all of us have to be just so grateful to Erie County, because the support, whether you're a big or small organization, it is sizable. And the commitment there from the county to support the arts is almost unlike any other community I've ever worked in and seen. And so part of that 66% is made up by government support through Erie County, National Endowment for the Arts, and some of the other grants. We have also worked very hard here at the BPO to raise an endowment to be the underpinning of our financials. So about 20% of our budget now is coming from endowment. But that still leaves a lot of money. And annual fund basis, maintenance fund, or whatever you want to call it, we are now having to raise almost $4.5 million a year. And we have about 4,000, a little over 4,000 donors that do that. And people, the way that the tax code is written here in America, it's kind of wait till the end of the year and they kind of assess their situation and see what they can afford to give away. So all arts organizations, I think I've got like 7 solicitations in the past week at my home from all the groups, because they know that this is a time that people make decisions. And it's not only is it the, one of the biggest months for single tickets or ticket sales, like I mentioned before, but also for donations for that very reason too.
I think it's incredible that Erie County provides so much support, but I'd love to just ask, for an individual, why is supporting an organization like the BPO crucial to the health of a city like Buffalo?
Well, I think people have to realize that, the people that support us, I think that they believe truly down, there's a couple things. First of all, they love the organizations, whether it's theater, whether it's Shays, Alleyway Theater, where you're involved, BPO. First of all, people are passionate about the organizations, that the institutions they support, the artwork, the art form that they support. So there's a natural affinity for it and a willingness to help, first of all. I don't think it comes from, I guess that's another thing about Buffalo. It doesn't come from a place of people giving money because they want their name on something or they want to get recognized for something. There are cities where that is very important in the donor base, but I don't think that's the case here in Buffalo. I think it comes from a very personal connection to the organizations. And so that's one thing. They enjoy the artwork, the art that you're making, and they want to support you. But also they see the need that you cannot rely on ticket sales alone, that you can't have organizations that run on ticket sales alone. It's just impossible. So if you want the quality and the kind of experiences that you're used to, there are more than willing to help pay for it. And then the secondary thing is, I think that the organizations who make the case that what they're doing beyond the stage or for the good of the community is very important. And I know Alleyway Theater is the same way. You have an extensive education program, and so do we. So people can see that it's not just about necessarily supporting that musician or concert because I like it, but it's because all the other things we're doing in the community to share classical music, to enhance education programs, to supplement music programs in the schools. And that is a big motivator for people. I know that for a fact.
As you were talking, one of the things that I was thinking about was just the accessibility to the people who work in the cultural sector of Buffalo, right? Like in a larger city, it might be important to have your name on a chair, but it is so incredible that I can speak to you, right? And that we can have this wonderful conversation here. And that you are accessible, and that everyone who works in the Buffalo artistic community is a part of the Buffalo community at large. And you can really feel that in the city.
Yeah, I think so. There's all kinds of partnerships going on all the time. And, I feel the same way. My colleagues are true friends and colleagues, and we share information and we try to work together on big and small problems and artistic and financial things. So it's very rewarding to know that you're a part of a ecosystem of art and culture that is, being felt and doing such great things in the community.
What gifts or gift packages are you offering people to purchase for the holidays?
Oh, well, you know, bpo.org, it's all there at our website or box office. But the main thing, we see a lot of people buying what they call, we call choose your own packages. So people can buy, can actually go up and pick three or four concerts that they want to come to precisely. But one of the gift cards are available, gift certificates are available at the box office, and also flex passes are a very popular form of holiday giving for people where you don't know what concert the person's going to want, but for, you know, $40 or $80, you can buy two tickets and give them to someone in there as a stocking stuffer. So yeah, there's lots of concerts to give away. We also have CDs. You know, this is one thing that Joanne Letta has done to remarkable success here in Buffalo over her 25 years, almost 25 years, is that we've recorded over 55 CDs, compact discs. We have won Grammy Awards. Those CDs are, I think, further calling attention to Buffalo's cultural, because they're played all over the world, all over the country. So those are available too at the box office or on our website too. And it's interesting to see how Joanne has captured, documented the artistic development of the orchestra over her time here, and because the CDs just keep getting better and better.
This is being recorded in 2022. What events in 2023 are must-sees?
One of our longest partners that we have is Irish Classical Theater. And we've done Midsummer Night's Dream. We've done Strauss, the Bourgeois Gentilhomme. But we're doing The Tempest, Shakespeare's Tempest, with the incidental music of Sibelius. And that is in late February. So directed by Fortunato Pezzamenti has come back to direct that. And it's always just such a gas. So it's that, Klein Hands, we do three nights. And it's Irish Classical Theater takes care of all the actors and the set. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to, because it's, again, it's a melding of audiences, a melding of genres, and trying to find an intersection that enlarges the pie versus shrinking it. So that's one big thing. There's so much great stuff. In May, we have a concert featuring the jazz violinist Regina Carter, who's just a wonderful person. Classical Jazz is the title of the program. We'll be playing Ellington piece written for four sisters. It's called The Four Sisters Concerto. And it's Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of the season, we're going to finish up with a big Verdi Requiem. So we've got, you know, if you look at the calendar, you go to the website and scroll down, you'll just see the wonderful diversity of programmings. We're out there almost every week. So there's something happening. There's always something for you, and also family concerts. If you're families, we've got a couple of things coming up that are on Sunday afternoon. So it's hard for me to pick. They all look good to me.
Yeah. And again, and just sort of underscoring the incredible diversity of programming, right? Where you have sort of Yo-Yo Ma, you have Verdi, you have sort of the music of Ella Fitzgerald. And then I know this will be in the past when we're talking about it, although I think we should sort of bring our listeners' attention to it, is the live showing of Back to the Future that's going to be underscored with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, or being the music will be played by them?
Yeah, I should have mentioned that about fall highlights, because that's coming up in a couple of weeks, Thanksgiving weekend. And we will be doing another one. We'll be doing Star Wars after the first of the year too. But this is a new kind of development, I'd say, in the last 5 years in the symphonic world, where people have figured out that tons of movies have amazing orchestral scores. And so instead of just showing a film by itself, they've actually can take out the music, the soundtrack to the score, put the orchestra underneath it, and just play the music. And it's freaky. I mean, we've done Elf last year, was the premiere of the Elf. We did Home Alone, which has always been one of my favorite holiday movies. And it's strange, because you're sitting there, you kind of get drawn into the screen. You know, it's a big, you know, 26 by 16 foot screen that hangs over the orchestra. So you get drawn into that. And then all of a sudden you kind of look down and you think, wait a minute, they are playing the soundtrack. Like, and you wouldn't even know it if you weren't looking at them, but the orchestra just makes it sound so good and just brings it to life. And so we're doing three of those a year now. And this year, I guess we started doing all the Harry Potter movies at Shays in February, and this COVID has thrown that off, so we're not doing Harry Potter this year. But it's interesting to me to see how that is like a door for new people to experience the BPO. You know, you just people, I remember at Home Alone, looking around at families of, you know, bringing kids kindergarten through high school and coming together and sitting down at the BPO. And these are people that we'd say are new to file, you know, don't have a record on them at all. But something about this has opened up door for them to experience client hands in the BPO. And, you know, I think that that's probably the major challenge for all of us in the arts is, you know, what the next generation, but how are we going to find the next generation of listeners? And how do we need to adapt from a programming standpoint to attract them? So the film series is one very fun way to do it.
Well, certainly. And then when you're there and you can sort of, because I always feel too, in seeing music live, it's one thing to kind of hear a compressed version on a CD, and CDs or, you know, audio recordings are wonderful. But when you actually feel the vibrations inside of a space like Kleinhans, it is an unforgettable evening and one that makes you just want to come back and see it more or hear it more. Anyway, just to sort of close out, is there anything that you feel has been left unsaid or you'd like to say to our listeners?
No, I would just like to say for all of you who come to the BPO, thank you for coming. For those of you who don't, please give us a try. You know, just it's we're not going to bite you. You know, there's plenty of different things to get your attention and whatever your musical taste is. You know, the other thing is that we have developed a rock series. So these are, you know, classic rock things that are done with the BPO. So we have Jefferson Starship coming up, and we'll be doing Led Zeppelin next year, the musical Led Zeppelin. And these things too have kind of important to bring back the baby boomers like me and experience the good old days in a different setting. Hopefully people would come out and see us. And if you can't see us at Kleinhans, just look for us during the summer. We're all over the city, and many of the concerts are free. So it's not like you even have to pay a lot of money to see us. So look for those opportunities as well.
Fantastic. For tickets, donations, seeing your schedule, people can go to?
The website is bpo.org, and it's all there. And they all can always call the box office, 885-5000, and they'll be happy to walk you through all the different ticket purchase options. So thank you, Daniel, for your time. I appreciate spending it with you.
It was great talking to you, Daniel. Thank you very much. Take care.
Well, that is our show for today. It was fantastic to speak to Daniel about the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. I'm so happy that Yo-Yo Ma will be able to be rescheduled for the spring. The BPO is a cornerstone institution of the Western New York arts community, and I hope you'll check out their website and see them live. Thanks from Western New York Soundstage and Buffalo Rising. Today's show is produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmacher engineered the episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted monthly on buffalorising.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studio.